because the notices were correct this morning, you should all got to Ezekiel 34.
As always in the last 2 weeks.
Right, let's pray, shall we? Loving Lord and Father, we bless you. You are the High King of Heaven, ruler over all things. Lord, and you have spoken your word. Lord, you have dealt with the nations and dealt with your people as you saw wise and fit and good. Lord, and we bless you that you know what you're doing, even when you lead us through the valleys of the shadows, Lord. We bless you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. And as we come to your word again tonight, Lord, help us not only just to see the past, but Lord, to see the present living God working in the nations in our lives too. Blessed be your name, Lord, and grant us your help by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, it's Ezekiel 34. Right. Is anybody ready yet? Ah, you see. There we are. Good chapter. It's just to set the background a little bit to this chapter. The important thing about it is Ezekiel is giving them some bad news because Jerusalem is about to be destroyed. The news hasn't quite arrived as yet, so he's getting close to that time, but he's preparing them for the bad news. But the interesting thing is that when the prophets tell you the bad news is coming, as soon as it arrives, what do the prophets tell you? The good news is coming. Right? So that they're no longer... The problem was with the Israelites, they were complacent. It'll never happen! Right? And Ezekiel said, it's going to happen. It's guaranteed going to happen. Right? So that's to knock them out of their complacency. But the moment it happens, they go, oh, it's the end of the world. And Ezekiel's got to lift them up and say, God's got his plan, he's working it out. So this chapter contains both ingredients. So by the time we finish, you should be up rather than down. Is that right? Good. Right, so, chapter 34, heading is sheep and shepherds. Now then, you know what he's talking about when he talks about sheep? People. Right, good. And the shepherds? The ultimate shepherds, God, but?
Teachers,
the leaders. It's the leadership of the nation, the kings, the rulers, and all of that, yeah? The people who were in charge, right? The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have brought back, you have not brought back the strays or kids from the lost. And you have ruled them harshly and brutally, so that they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. So that's God's indictment against the rulers of Israel, the people who were the top brass, we would call them, wouldn't it? And what did they do? I hope you realise there's nothing new under the sun. What is one of the general positions top brass do is look after themselves. That's what a nice thing to say, but it seems to be the way it goes, doesn't it? And he says, what have they done? They've fed themselves. I mean, this is dictators all over the world, isn't it? They've all got massive bank balances and all this sort of stuff while the poor people are suffering. Well, that was happening in Israel. Do you know why? Because they're sinners, like the rest of them, and they weren't listening to God. So, the Lord tells them all of these things. And so what should shepherds do? He says shepherds should take care of the flock. Right. And care for the lost and help the weak and all of those things. Now then, I've got a very practical question for you, brothers and sisters. Right? I'm supposed to be a shepherd, aren't I? Right? That's what the word pastor means, you know. It's to be a shepherd. I'm not a real shepherd, to be honest. There are others with far more pastoral gifts than I have, I'm sure of that. Yes? I'm not making fun of that. Some are more, much more. I'm sort of a bit hard-hearted, really, you know. But probably we need thick skin occasionally. But I'm asking you this question. How? He says the shepherds have got to look after the sheep. They've got to Go for the lost and the weak and the wounded and all that stuff and patch them up. Question: how involved should people get in other people's lives? That's the question I'm asking. Because I've met over the years, it's a bit like the roundabouts, brothers and sisters. All I can say this is, you know, same old problems, but just different faces. Yeah? And how involved do you get in telling people? I mean, the solutions are simple. Read your word, get some fellowship, and get sorted out. That's simple, isn't it? The problem is, you've got to have a wanna. And if you haven't got a wanna, it's not going to work. The way it goes, I'm afraid. I mean, I can see them now, young couple, really nice young couple, came to my house for advice. I said to the young man, the couple wasn't there at the time, the young man says, you know, what you need to do is da 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 da. And it meant he went out of our house to go that way. Right? And when he went out of our house, which direction did he go in? Oh, I mean, it's like horses and water, isn't it? So how involved can you can only advise, you can only get alongside and sort of mentor a bit. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that I always think of, like one who grabs the dog by the ears is someone who gets involved in business that's not his. Right? So we need to sort of have a distance, but you know, one of the themes of the Middle Ages was the power of the priest. I don't know if you're aware of this. What was the power of the priest that he had in the Catholic Church, would you be aware? What was the power the priest had?
Well, you had to go to the priest.
Did you go to the priest? Yes. And what did you do when you went to the priest? You confess. You confess. And when you went to the priest to confess, what's the priest got?
He's got power.
He's got power to give you remission, yes. But what's he? What have you given him?
He gives you blackmail.
You've given him power. Knowledge is power. Right? And they know everything about you. Right? So I'm not here to know all your washing and all your linen. I'm telling you that for sure. Right? Okay? But, as I think the New Testament says, when there are public sins, we have to deal with public sins. But in private, I'm afraid it's between you and the Lord and those people you're messing around with, unless it comes out. So that's all I'm saying is, the shepherds have to do their jobs, but let me put it this way. It's no good you saying, when we get to heaven, he never helped me, Lord! Right? Because the Lord will say, it was your responsibility. Yeah. Now, I'm not washing my hands, believe me. I care. I do care. But there's a limit to what we can do when it's down to you. The dodge that believers so often have is, it's somebody else's fault. Well, the Lord's not going to wash that one off, don't you? Anyway, there we are. I thought I'd air my grievances. Yeah. Shepherds. Shepherds, it's... You know the Gilbert and Sullivan song? A policeman's lot is not a happy one. Right. Well, it can be a joy to be a shepherd. It can be. Right. But it can be a total pain at times as well. Bless you. You're not paying, so you're good. Anyway.
If somebody stops coming, for example, would you reach out or would
yes. you try to track people down? I mean, we have done this. There are people who aren't coming now who have sort of just dropped off. We've been in touch, we've phoned, we've tried to say, look, you know, I'm not here to chase you. I'm not here to chase you, but, you know, we're interested and concerned, right? And there's all sorts of things people say.
It's the same as being a nun. When they grow up, you have to step back.
Which is not easy. Right. So, but the problem with the shepherds of Israel, the leaders in Israel, were they didn't even do the basics. Mm-hmm. They were thinking of number old one, looking after themselves. It says, you know, what did they do? They eat the curds, that's the milk that they produce, clothe themselves with the wool, they skin them alive. Right? These are what pastors do as well, did you know that? They skin sheep.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah? Driving around in their flashy cars while you're struggling to make ends meet. There you are. And all that stuff. Right, so there we are. So the Lord is not entirely pleased with all of that. Right, they were scattered, and this is talking about the people of Israel. This is verse 6. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Right, so the people were in a mess. Of course, it was partly their fault as well, you know. I mean, the people didn't listen to what God said, and so they bore the consequences of their own sin, but the leaders have big responsibilities as well. Right? Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Now then, just to say, who is the congregation that Ezekiel is speaking to at the moment? when he's giving this message. The people in Babylon. And it includes the leaders of the community there. So he's spelling it out. This is what's going to happen down in Israel. But they've got to do their bit as well, right? Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flocks lack a shepherd, and so has been plundered, and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock, so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. Right, the Lord says, they're not doing anything. So you notice how often the word I turns up in that bit. The Lord's going to take the initiative, and he's going to deal with it. Yeah. Thank the Lord for that, eh? Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, I know we have our responsibility, but God is the one who'll deal with things. In the end, you know, which is good news, isn't it? Lovely. Right, so he's warning them, he's going to sort them out and deal with them, because they didn't do the things that they were supposed to care for the flock. One of the interesting things is, and it's a quote from Mr. Spurgeon I read years ago, he's on about, why were the flocks scattered? Because they didn't have any leaders, you know, they needed people to help and guide them, of course, right? And Spurgeon made this comment about sheep. He says, you know, sheep can be really, sheep can be really dumb, yeah? They're vulnerable, they go off in all sorts of silly ways, and get themselves into sticky places, and they're not the wisest of creatures, he says. And wolves, they're the most cunning creatures around, right? He says, but have you noticed, the cause of sheep is increasing, and the cause of wolves is decreasing. And do you know why? Because the sheep have a shepherd. And that's what makes the difference. Right. Good, eh? So, dear friends, don't be discouraged, you know. Jesus is still in charge, just as well, eh? Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So, on we go. Verse 11, isn't it? Yeah. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, when he is with them. So I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, and in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy, and I will shepherd the flock with justice. Isn't that wonderful, eh? A promise of good things. Now, remember, who's listening to this prophecy? The people who've been kicked out of the land, right? And as far as they're concerned, it's the end of the story, no more future for Israel. And yet, God is saying to them, I'm going to get my sheep back home. And not only will they be back home, but they'll be provided for, and they'll be secure. Does that ring any bells to you about how Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, yeah? You know, there's a phrase, he looked on them with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Right. There's no one to help them. So Jesus comes and the rest of them. So, we'll pick up some more. There's lots of sort of back references in these passages, but we'll get them in a moment or two. I'm just going to get to the main verses. Yeah? Verse 17. So, as for you, my flock. Is that good? Yeah. My? Yeah. Right? That little word makes all the difference, you know. My flock. Right. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? It's very good farming imagery, isn't it? There's these, what could we say, macho sheep, whatever you call macho sheep, I don't know. They come and push everybody out of the way and they eat the best food and trample on what's left, and then they go for a drink of water and then they stir up all the mud and you're left with the squashings and the muck. Right, you say, I'll fix them. Good, eh? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Right, so, what sort of sheep are you? Are you a muck stirrer or not? Are you a good one? I hope you are.
Can't be a lamb.
Can you be a lamb?
Yeah.
I don't know if that. You've got to grow up, you know. Yeah. That's true. That's true, yeah. Right. Verse 20. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Oh, they are. Why are they fat sheep? Because they've pinched everything. That's why. Right? And the lean ones, right?
Starving.
Starving, right? Isn't it interesting that in this day and age in which we live, you know, the idea of having a bit of shape about you and a bit of extra weight on you is considered bad. In the old days, God talking about fattening people up was good. Right.
It is in some countries.
It is in some countries.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's good.
Right.
The problem is about the rich people called trainers.
Yeah.
And the poor people eating rubbish food.
Yes, that's right, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, I just thought interesting comments, you know, the whole idea of nutrition and all that has changed in many ways, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, the reason I was saying that is that. Just to apply it on the beauty front. Yeah? If you look at the models today, not that I'm saying we look at the models all the time, but you know what I mean? If you have to see the models, what is the characteristic of the models of today? Absolutely God. Right. Yeah. Look at the films of a few years ago. What was considered beautiful was some more weight on them. Yeah.
Something
So what's wrong is I think the view of the media makers is they want to destroy womanhood. That's really what it is, I think. But anyway, fat sheep again. Yeah. Making all the others skinny. Right, anyway, where we go? I've lost any place. Verse 20, right. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with the flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you've driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. And he will tend them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Is that wonderful?
Mm.
Right. Okay, so we're going to... Yes?
Come on before David.
This is after David. David's long since gone.
Yeah.
Right? Right? David has long since gone. Right? So what we're getting at is it's a prophecy. Right? Yeah? But, we'll get there in a moment. This word about the Lord says, it's verse 23. I will place over them one shepherd. Other translations, please. What does he say? I will what?
Establish.
Establish or raise up. That's the idea of the word. God is going to put in a place, raise up a shepherd for them, right? Where do you think that word raise up comes from? Tell me.
Deuteronomy.
You got it, right. Look at Deuteronomy 18:15. Yes. It finds itself in other places too, of course. See. Deuteronomy 18:15 is talking about the prophet that the Lord was going to send, right? Right. Verse 14 of Deuteronomy 18. Right. Well, it's not verse 14 I want.
It's 15.
It's 15, isn't it? Yes. Right. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. So, what we're saying is, when God says he's going to raise up someone, it doesn't mean he's going to bring David back as king. He's going to bring someone like David in his place. As to function as David did, the good king of Israel, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right? So, this isn't a prophecy about David being resurrected as king of Israel. Now, I know, maybe you come across prophetic teaching that says that, but they've got it wrong, in my humble opinion. To raise up is to talk about someone coming in the line of and in the function of and the purpose of. Right? Got a few more verses for you, just to spell it out. If you go now from Deuteronomy to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. This is the literal promise. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, what did I say?
7.
2 Samuel 7, verse 12. Yep, that's the one. Now this was the promise that God made to David. Remember the situation? David wanted to build a house for God. Right? And great idea. And the Lord eventually tells him, no David, you're not the one that's going to build me a house. It's going to be your son. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to build you a house. And he didn't mean out of wood and bricks and stones. I'm going to build you a house means I'm going to make a dynasty. Yeah? There's going to be descendant upon descendant following you. And so in verse 7, the Lord says, I've lost the place. Verse 12. Thank you, yes. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up. Same word, yeah? I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. So, David is shorthand for Messiah. Right? The Messiah is coming, and we know that he's not called David now. He's called Jesus. Right? But David is the ideal Messiah figure. So, back to Ezekiel now. Right? Where Ezekiel is told by the Lord, he says, where is it? Verse 23. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, right? And he will tend them, right? One shepherd. So, the Messiah is going to function as a shepherd. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And there are two verses in the New Testament that quote that directly, of course, apart from Jesus, talking about, I am the
good shepherd.
Good shepherd, right? It's almost equivalent to saying the one shepherd, you know, the unique one. Right? When he uses the word good, it doesn't just mean quality, it means the true one, the real shepherd, yeah? Okay. So we want, what do we want? We want 1 Peter 2, verse 25. That's near the end of the New Testament, if you didn't know where to find it. 1 Peter 2, 25. For you were like sheep going astray. Nothing new there, is there? Right? But you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And who's he talking about? It's Jesus. Right. And then one more in Hebrews, and that's Hebrews 13, 25. Hebrews. Where's Hebrews gone? Just have to... Going back a bit there. I'm good at that.
Hebrews 29.
No, 13:25. Right. This is benediction, really. Can I read from verse 20? Such a good section. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep.
What is that?
That's verse 20 of Hebrews 13. Sorry, did I said 25, didn't I?
Just 25.
Well, it's a good verse, isn't it? It's a great verse. I just got the number wrong. Okay. As you can see. Yeah, why did I put 25 down? But I don't know. Anyway, there's the reference. Verse 20, isn't it? May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. So Jesus is the shepherd. The David. You know, David was a shepherd. Isn't it interesting how God qualifies people for the work he's going to do? I mean, David had no idea when he was out looking after sheep that that was training for him to be the leader of Israel.
Yeah.
It was. Moses, what was his job when he was in the desert? Looking after sheep. Do you know, the Lord must have it in mind that looking after people is a bit like looking after sheep at times.
Yeah.
There you are. You know. There you go. Okay. Back to Ezekiel then. So, I will place over them one shepherd. That's unique. He's the sole leader, the one shepherd. It means there's no substitute, there's no equals to his and there. That's the point, yes. And he's my servant David. Yes, well, it means Messiah, as we know. And he will tend them. And he will tend them and be their shepherd. So that's wonderful, yeah? Right, so let's have a look at John chapter 10 then for a moment. Where Jesus actually says he fulfills that. I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. If people, and the people whom Jesus was speaking to in his day, knew their Bibles. So they know about God being the shepherd, and the Messiah being the shepherd, and that the Lord would appoint the ruler to be the shepherd. And Jesus turns up in John 10 and says this. You know, it is a total bombshell. We just think, oh, isn't that nice? Yeah? But when Jesus said it, it must have been like sort of an explosion in the sky for the people that heard it. It's John 10. Right. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter by the sheep pen, or does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Right? So he says, somebody who sneaks into where the sheep are kept, right, instead of coming through the main door, right, he's up to no good. Right, he's going to be stealing sheep. Right, yeah. Right. The man who enters by the gate of the shepherd is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. See, they were dumb as well, weren't they, right? Jesus is talking not about sheep. What he's saying is that there have been some false shepherds turn up lately, and they've been destroying sheep. Right? He says the real shepherd is the one who comes in through the official door. And the official door is the way God has planned it. Yeah? And he says the sheep listen to him. Well, there were people who were listening to Jesus. And he says, you prove you're a sheep by listening to what Jesus says. Right? If you're not listening to Jesus, there may be a chance you're not going to be sheep. Right? He says, my sheep recognize my voice. Isn't that lovely? Have you ever tried that little thing on the phone? You know, when someone phones you up.
Yes,
you know, and in the first few seconds, can you tell who it is? Yes. There's something about the voice that carries the characteristics. Yeah. Well, if you're trying to trick people, I did that to Gene once. It was so funny. Anyway. Shall I tell him? All right, it was, I phoned her up one morning, I don't know when it was, but I said, in a disguised voice, oh, hello, I'm a representative of QVC, and you're one of our valued customers. I'm phoning you to tell you that you've won a prize. Oh, I couldn't really carry on much, but I was curled up in laughter, so I gave the game away. But, there we are, yeah. But most of the time, you can recognise the voice. Yes, right, okay. Sorry about that. Well, I wasn't sorry yet, Jesus. Yeah, okay. The sheep recognise the voice. That's the amazing thing. Again, you know, God's built into language and sound such amazing abilities to be able to distinguish things. I mean, for me, one of the most, I think, the most amazing sights in nature is, you know, the emperor penguins in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. They go out in the winter and they huddle in these big groups. Yeah. And then one of the, either the male or the female, goes off fishing and comes back months later.
Yeah.
And they hear, well, the baby's been born, right? They hear the little squeak and they go away and they come back and they can tell you, out of thousands of all squeaking penguins, which one's there. Absolutely.
It's
the same with babies. Yes. Yes. And Jean, when she'd only heard Rebecca once when she was born, she heard the cry of the chorus. That's not baby. So, God built into it, we recognize the shepherd's voice. You know when it's Jesus. It's what I call the spiritual nose. You can smell it. It's the, if it's not right, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Discernment. Something not quite right there, yeah? So the sheep recognised Jesus' voice as the leader. And he says, they'll never follow a stranger. And it's interesting, he said, he leads out his sheep. I don't know if you noticed, there's a difference between how we do it in Britain and how they do it in Israel when it comes to sheep. What do we do when we're looking after sheep here in this country? We drive them. Got the dogs shifting them everywhere and everything else. What do they do in Israel? The shepherd goes out in front of the sheep and they follow the sheep. Is that interesting? Right? Yeah. So the sheep follow the shepherd. And they know they're safe when they're following the shepherd. Okay? There's a very practical lesson on that. You follow Jesus, you won't go wrong.
Why do they do it different
here? Well, I don't know, because we've got sheep dogs.
They're trained for it. I mean, they wouldn't do it if a shepherd went ahead here.
If a shepherd went ahead here, I don't know if the sheep would follow him. No idea.
Yeah.
They may. They know him. They know the shepherd. They know the shepherd. They may well do, but it's the dogs that do it.
In Israel, they used to sleep with the sheep and...
Yeah.
Literally with them.
Well, shepherds are very caring people, by and large. I mean, they spend a lot of time with their flocks and so on.
But, yeah, like I said, I think they do it over there more than what they do it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so, right. Verse 7, we're still in chapter 10 of John. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. He always did. But why did he say, what's the word that he uses when he says, I tell you the truth? In the Greek, you know? It's actually Hebrew, but do you know? Verily is the old translation. I tell you the truth. It's the word is Amen. Jesus says, Amen. I'm telling you. Right? Last word on the job, eh? Right. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. When Jesus calls himself the gate, he's using a metaphor. We've talked about this before. When he says he's a gate, it doesn't mean to say he's got hinges and a latch on. Right? It's a metaphor. Right? It's a way of describing his function. He's the way in to the family. Yes, the pen. Into the sheep pen. You want to get into the sheep pen and become a sheep because you're a goat. Do you know you're born a goat?
Yeah.
You did know that, didn't you? You're born a goat.
Nah.
Yes, absolutely. Because you're born with a sinful nature that'll get you to hell if you leave it to itself, right?
Mm.
That's a goat. Mm. Right? The only way to become a sheep is through going through where the shepherd takes you. He makes you into one of his kids. Sorry, it's the wrong phrase, kids. There you go. Right. Okay. Verse 11. This is the bombshell. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Right. So Jesus is explaining what he's going to do, of course. And any shepherd worth his salt, as we'd say, would, you know, prepare to fight for his sheep. And David, when he was going to face Goliath, remember what David said about his practice as a sheep? King Saul says to David, you can't go and fight him, he's a trained soldier, he's been a man of war from his youth, and you're just a shepherd boy. Right? And David says, right, the Lord's rescued me from the lion, and when they went and got one of my sheep, I went and got my sheep back. Right? I faced lions and I faced bears, and the Lord who helped me face bears and lions and helped me face this ugly looking so and so. Right? I think bears and lions are probably worse than Goliath. Also, I must say this, it's one of my little jokes really, but it's not a joke. I don't know if you hear the news, but the news is exceedingly biased against Israel.
Yeah.
Right? So let me give you an example. They talk about the recent wave of attacks and murders that's going on in Israel. And the BBC reports it as there have been 9 Israelis killed and 30 Palestinians.
Yeah.
Right? What they don't tell you is the 9 Israelis were innocent citizens going about their business. The 30 Palestinians that were killed were either bombing or knifing or stoning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Different altogether. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm waiting when they're going to say that Israel is using disproportionate force. They always use that phrase. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days they're going to say David used disproportionate force because he took 5 stones against Goliath. Yes, exactly. Anyway, that's my part of the list a little bit, that one. Anyway, right, we go. One shepherd is the good shepherd. So Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, is a major claim to them being the Messiah. Right? But it's bigger than that, I'd like to suggest. It's a claim to deity.
Yeah.
Because We'll read it at the end, shall we? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know what the word for Lord is there? It's that capital L-O-R-D. Yeah? Yahweh. God is my shepherd. Right? I was speaking to some Jehovah's Witness ladies. We had a conversation rather than an argument last week. It makes a difference, doesn't it? You know? Yeah? And I was telling them about the use of the name Yahweh in the Bible. Is attributed to Jesus too, which is what Jesus is claiming there, right? Okay, anyway, let's just move on a little bit more. Right, verse 24.
Did they take it?
Well, they listened. They listened, yes, yeah. Food for thought, yeah. Right. I am the Lord, he will tend them and be their shepherd. I the Lord, capital L-O-R-D again, yeah? I the Lord will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I the Lord have spoken. What a promise. This is people who are just about to hear the end of the world has come as far as they're concerned. This is back into Ezekiel, verse 24. Sorry, Gene. Yes, you're back in Ezekiel, verse 24. Right? Right. Then verse 25. I will make, these are lovely bits here. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and rid the land of wild beasts, so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. How about that? Mm-hmm. Right, Callie, I don't know if you're aware of this, maybe you're not used to the geography of the land and so on. Yeah. Sheep. Right, we've got sheep. Right. What's a good place for feeding sheep? Deserts aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Deserted places are not good places for sheep. Mm-hmm. But the Lord says in the desert, I'll feed my sheep. Right, so, when you're in this dry place, it doesn't mean to say that God's run out of resources to be with you and bless you, right? That's one. And the other is, they'll sleep in the forests. Now, if you're a sheep, when you go to sleep in the forest, chances are you're not going to come out. Right? It's a very dangerous place. But the most dangerous place, when God's looking after you, is the safest place on the planet.
Yeah,
so, in the forests, he looks after his sheep as well. Good, eh? The Lord knows how to look after you. I'm so pleased. Just as well. Right. Okay. Right. Right. They'll live in the forest in safety. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. Right. What's his hill? Any guesses?
Jerusalem.
Yes, and Mount Zion. That's the place. Yes. Right. All right. So he'll bless them and he'll give them a safe place in Mount Zion. Right. And I will send down. Oh, how about this? I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. We always have that song sometimes, don't we? There will be showers of blessing. Isn't that lovely? Right. What's the back reference to that, really? It all goes back to the Garden of Eden, you know, where the land was watered by the streams that flew up there, and all those things there. Now God's going to recreate, we'll see in the later part of the chapter, recreate what they lost. Do you know what sin lost for us? The garden. Right? And Israel becomes that almost substitute garden. It was going to be a place where the land flowing with milk and honey, the place of blessing and prosperity. And sin lost it for them again. But the Lord says, still got my plan. Yes, still got my plan. You've blown it twice. Right? But third time, lucky. No, didn't say that. Right? Blessed. Yeah. As you'll see. Right. Okay. I will send down showers in season, there will be showers of blessing. We want the showers of the Spirit as well, don't we? Oh, my goodness me, yes. Right. So, look at Leviticus 26, verse 4. Two verses for you here. Leviticus 26, verse 4. Leviticus 26. Can't find it. It's there somewhere, yeah. 26, verse 4. Verse 3, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field their fruit. Right? Wonderful, eh? So the Lord promises blessings, showers of blessings, if they do what he says. Well, they haven't quite, but the promise still stands all the same. Then let's go to, I think it's Isaiah 9, verse 5. I can read my writing. Isaiah 9, Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 verse 5. What is Isaiah coming out of? The age of the coming of the Messiah. They have this at Christmas, you know, don't they? Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born. It's not. What, did I say verse 5?
Yeah.
It can't be verse 5. It's got to be verse 6, then, isn't it? Yeah. For unto us a child is born, the son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, we're going to look at that later on. But it's not what I'm after. Yeah, it's verse 3. Verse 3, or verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoiced before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing plunder. So God's going to bless them with a big harvest. Yeah? And the way you get a big harvest is you're going to have showers of blessing. Right, so there you go. Right? You sing that song. Right. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. And the people will be secure in the land, in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They'll no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. Right, so the wild animals were the leaders of the nations, as well as the natural wild animals as well, of course. So God's going to set them free from all these oppressors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They will live in safety and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. So we'll provide for them a land that produces crops and all that. So that's going back to the Genesis garden again, of course. But also, if you look at Genesis 13 verse 10, Genesis 13 verse 10 is again a reference to Israel, as we've looked at it a couple of times already. Genesis 13 verse 10 is... I hope I've got the right verse this time. Have I got the right verse?
Yeah.
He looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Eden of the Lord, the land of Egypt towards Zion. So that's what it's all about, eh? Lot saw the plain by the Jordan, wherever that was the first time. The other bit was dried out a bit. Abraham got that, but he gets the blessing in the end, yeah? So it was like the Garden of Eden, yeah? Mm. And they're going to inherit it, of course. Back to Ezekiel, nearly there then. Verse 30. Then they will know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. Yeah, that verse, I keep saying this, I'll keep repeating it, that verse is the key verse to the whole Bible. Right? It comes in different forms. Right? But the standard format is, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Right? That runs from beginning to end. That's the plan. God is going to be the God of his people. He's going to have some people to know him and love him. And your privilege to be part of it. Praise the Lord, yeah? So, God says, that's my plan. I am sticking to it. Right? So, whether Jerusalem falls or Jerusalem gets messed up, all the kings disappear, don't you worry, I've got it in hand. There's going to be a people. They're going to have a king called David, but he's known as Messiah, really. And his name's Jesus. And he's going to bless them. And they're going to lie down in safety. I'll provide for them. And I'll be a shepherd that they've never had before. Right? And then verse 31. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are my people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Right? So the Lord has said he's going to do that for his people. Right? And where does that happen? Where does it happen? When does it happen?
When the Lord comes,
ultimately, it's fulfilled when the Lord comes, right? And we enter into the new heavens and the new earth, and you enter into that city which is a garden city, with the river running through and the trees growing and all of this thing here. That's the ultimate fulfilment of what the Garden of Eden was meant to be. And we're going to be there. That's going to be something else, isn't it? Wow, right? So that's the ultimate fulfilment. But, brothers and sisters, you know God's good, right? And For us, it's not pie in the sky when you die. What is it?
Gravy
on the plate while you wait. Right? Okay? You've not heard that before. It's not pie in the sky when you die. It's gravy on the plate while you wait. Right? God gives you down payments, samples of, now. Right? Best one. Ephesians, one of my favourite verses. Ephesians 1:13, if I'm right. Hope I'm right on this one. It's in chapter 1 anyway. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians.
Ephesians.
Chapter 1, verse 13. And 14. Verse 13. You know, this is the very first verse that God spoke to me through. And so it's a favourite verse for me. Yeah? Right? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Right? And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Fancy God telling you that. That's fabulous. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Do you know what a deposit is? It's gravy on the plate. Right? A down payment. In fact, you get in the down payment all that there is going to be at the end. Because if you give them the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, you've got the lot, haven't you? Yeah? But that's gravy on the plate, brothers and sisters. Right, so we're just gonna read these psalms that Jesus, when he says, I am the good shepherd, was alluding to. So let's look at Psalm 23. Yeah? Just read that. We won't do a study on Psalm 23. It's a good psalm. It's worth the message, but we won't do it tonight. Unless I get carried away. I won't. I promise I won't get carried away. There we are. Psalm 23, one of the best psalms. Again, you see? The Lord is my shepherd. That's God. Yeah? And for the Israelite, the word shepherd conjures up so much. He talks about a ruler, someone who cares. Yeah? I shall not be in want. That means? He provides. I won't lack anything, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Right? You know sheep don't lie down unless they're contented. Right? He makes me lie down in what pastures? Moldy old rotten stuff? Green pastures. Right? He leaves me beside quiet waters. Sheep won't drink if it's all disturbed and rattling away and making noises and stuff. Got to be calm. Right? We need more calm, don't we? He leaves me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know what silly sheep can do? They can fall over. And when they're on their backs, they're in trouble. Because if they stay on their backs, they can't get up. And if you leave them for an hour, they'll be dead. Because the gases build up, stop the blood flow. Right? So what does he do? He turns you the right way up. He restores your soul. Right, okay. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He takes me through the right places. Yeah? And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know the ravines that they had to pass through to get up to the high pastures. Right? That's the dangerous places where the jaguars and the lions and all those were waiting for something to go by and get. And he says, you take me through there. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Isn't that lovely? When the shepherd's with you, you needn't be too worried. And just in case you were worried, the shepherd's well armed. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yes. Now, what's the rod? Yeah?
Use it for throwing at me with no weight.
Yes. It's a great big club. I don't know if you put a nail in the end of it or whatever. But it's a great big club. That's the rod. What's the staff? It's the shepherd's hook. Right? Now, I've said I wouldn't go on about this, but it's really important. You know, too many Christians, when they look at the shepherd with his club and his staff, what do they think? They think the club's for them. Yeah, the God. I mean, this sad to say, one of the Catholic traditions is they have a view of God that is just waiting to hit you. Yeah, you step out of the line, boom, got it. Right, right. Sad, isn't it? Right. What's the club for? It's for the enemy. Right. They need to be worried, not you. Right. What's the staff for? Well, he might give you a tap with it. Yeah. But you grab him when you're out in the danger, or put you on the tap you on the right side. Yeah. So just make sure you realise that God's armaments. Some are for his enemies, some are to bless you with. Now just make sure you know what you're looking at, yeah? So both, comforted. Right. Then he goes up, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Well, again, they go up onto the tables of the mountains. You know, that's where all the pasture is in the spring. It's where the good food is. Right? But there's one danger up at the top there. If you go to Scotland, you'll find this out. What's the plague in Scotland? The mortgages! The mortgages, or flies, as it would be in their distance, right? And what can the flies do? They bite you, but they do worse to sheep. What do? They infect, they can infect them, but they do worse.
That happens here, doesn't it?
Yeah. Stephen Janet said this. Yeah. What can flies do to sheep?
Malaria,
no. What they do is they lay their eggs in the sheep, right? And the grubs can burrow away and drive them crazy. Yes. So what does the shepherd do? He anoints their head with this pungent oil to keep the flies off.
No flies on you.
No flies on me. That's right. You're right again. He anoints my head with the Holy Spirit to keep the flies off. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Right. Right. My cup overflows. Well, we're doing well here. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right. What's the house of the Lord?
Heaven.
His family. The house means household. Right? It's not home. It's not a building.
No.
I will dwell in
the people.
What he's saying is, I'll be in God's flock forever. Right. Now then, Jesus, back to I am the good shepherd. He says, I'm going to gather all my sheep into the pen, into the fold, sheepfold. And then he says something really wonderful, which what the prophets pick up as well. He says, they're going to be all together. One sheep, one family, one shepherd, they'll all be together in the one fold. And then he says this, I have other sheep that are not of this fold.
Yeah.
I have to go and get them and bring them all in so they will all be one sheep family with one shepherd.
Ah,
I've got other sheep. I've got other sheep that are of this fold. The Gentiles. He's talking to Jews at the time, right? All the disciples he was talking to there were Jews, right? He says, you're going to be in my sheep family, right? But I've got some more sheep that I want to get in, right? Thank the Lord that there's one of those sheep called Dennis. Right? You may not thank the Lord for that, but I do. Yeah. And for you too, you see, the Gentiles are included. And we find that. What was the promise to Abraham? It runs all the way through. The promise was, I'll make you a blessing, and you'll be a blessing, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's the promise that we're going to get in as well. Is that good, eh? Right, so I think that is where I rest my case. Yeah? So, we've got a shepherd. His name's Jesus, right? And he's going to provide for you. Praise his name. Okay, let's just pray, shall we? We'll sing a good song, and then we'll share together what the shepherd did for us, okay? Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful, wonderful promises. Lord, and yes, we realise when it all looks like the world's falling apart, as it did for those people that were listening to Ezekiel. Lord, you come in with the most amazing of promises. Lord, that when man's plans have fallen apart, your plan still stands. We bless you for that, Father. And so we come and, Lord, pray you will grant us to keep us trusting in Jesus, Lord. In the end, we'll be there in that fold, Lord, with the rest of the sheep that you've called from out of the nations around the world, together with your people, Israel. Lord, thank you. There will be one shepherd. And thank you, Lord, we've been privileged to know his name. Jesus is his name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us even now. Thank you for the blessings we enjoy even now. Lord, promises of greater things to come. Lord, surely you are an amazing God. And we bless you and say we love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen.